God is good.
We were singing there, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the name in which is all authority. And this morning, I want to draw our attention to authority and what that means. I thought a place to start could maybe be just to look up what does the word authority mean in the Oxford Dictionary to see what it says. And it says it's the right to act in a specified way, delegated from one person or organization to another, the right to give orders, to make decisions, to enforce obedience. So that is what the dictionary tells us. However, I actually like a clear, concise definition that I found in Emma Stark's book that came out last year called Prophetic Warrior. And I just think it just makes it really nice and crisp and clear, where she says authority is the right to do something. So authority is the right to do something versus power, which is the capacity to do something. So we have power, which is the capacity, and we have authority, which is having the right to do something. So of course, we all know that God has all power and all authority. And if you think about angels, angels are very powerful, but they don't have authority unless they're sent by God, because they go and do God's work. But we're going to look at scripture today, and we're going to look to see how, if you are a follower of Jesus, then human beings, we have been given authority because we are created in His image. So let's look at authority. And I thought today we should look at the story about the centurion in scripture. So if you go with me to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to start first to read from verse 5 to 10. This is the story of the centurion. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So here we have a centurion, obviously a Gentile. He's in the Roman army. They are the occupying force, so they wouldn't be very popular. Actually, the Bible describes several centurions in scripture. And when we read about them, we actually find that the vast majority of them were people of integrity and high standing, and actually amazingly upright people. This man in particular, because we see that he's coming to Jesus, he's addressing Jesus as Lord. He's coming, but he's not coming for himself. He's coming for his servants. Now, under the Roman law, their servants, their slaves were their property, and they could do with them as they wanted. And if a servant was no longer going to be able to serve them, they had the right to kill them, basically, to do the end of them. But this centurion was a completely different person. He had such compassion on his servant who was being tormented. And he had obviously heard about Jesus. And so he came on behalf of his servant. Now, it made me think about other centurions in the scripture. And particularly, you'll remember, just after Jesus was crucified, we actually read it in Matthew 27 and verse 54, and this is just after Jesus is crucified. It says, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Wow. A centurion had such a revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. How fantastic is that? And later in the book of Acts, we read about other centurions. There was one who actually saved Paul and made sure that Paul got released because he discovered he was a Roman citizen. And then later on, we read about Peter going to the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius was a centurion. A centurion was someone like a captain or whatever in the Roman army, and he would have 100 men, soldiers, under his command. So the centurion, he knew all about discipline and about authority. And so when he heard about Jesus and he realized that Jesus had authority in the unseen realm, he knew that Caesar had authority in his world that he lived in, but he had heard about Jesus and realized that Jesus could do that which people could not do in their own strength. And so he came looking for Jesus to heal his servant. Now, when we go to Luke chapter 7 and we read the same story, it actually tells us in that chapter that some of the Jews came to Jesus and talked about the centurion and said, he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. So this centurion was unusual. He's built a synagogue. He's built a synagogue. So this man is quite remarkable. He's not a selfish man. He's built a synagogue. He's coming pleading for his servant. And what we see here in this short passage of scripture is that he also has deep consideration for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Jesus immediately says to him, I will come and heal him. And I think if any of us were going to the Lord for someone that was ill, and the Lord said to us, I will come and heal him, we were going, yeah, this is it. He's going to be healed. We would just take that opportunity. We would grab it. And we would say, yes, come on, come on. But listen to the centurion. He has consideration because he knows that Jesus is a Jew, and the Jews were not allowed to go into the home of the Gentiles. This was against the law. And so he has a lot of consideration for putting Jesus in that kind of position, and out of respect for Jesus. So he's saying, oh, but you, I'm not worthy that you come. You see, he really has understood his position versus the position of Jesus Christ. It's most amazing that he says, but you don't need to, you just need to say the word. He had such faith. Number one, he believed that Jesus could heal at a distance. Number two, he believed that Jesus could heal just with one word. And so the Lord Jesus was marveled at him. He marveled at his faith. He had showed such great sensitivity towards his servant, towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not self-centered, he was other-centered. What a man he was by recognizing the Lord Jesus. Absolutely fantastic. And so when we get to verse 13, if you show verse 13, it says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Praise God. This man had faith. And so his servant was healed. And Jesus was amazed. He was amazed. Yes, Jesus had feelings like you and I, because remember, the Lord Jesus, he put aside his majesty. He put that aside and he came as a human being. He lived like you and I. He was tempted in all things like we are, yet he never sinned. So of course he had emotions and he had feelings. And here we read that he was really amazed at the centurion and at his faith. And he's explaining that to the crowd, how marvelous this faith is. So what kind of faith is this? Well, here you have someone in the army, he's a centurion, and he uses his reasoning. He's using his reasoning. He has heard what Jesus has done, and he realizes Jesus has authority in the unseen realm. He's one that can raise the sick. He's one that can even raise the dead. He has authority. He recognizes that authority, and he uses his intellect to reason that with a man with that kind of authority, he doesn't need to actually go, although sometimes he did go and lay hands on. He can just speak the word because he has that authority. Because he knew in the army he was in, when he gave an order, it happened. This is a lesson for us. We have to learn today from this centurion. Because if you are born again, you come into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, all power and authority belongs to me. And then he's passed it on to us. So we've got to remember the authority that has been passed on to us. It goes all the way back into the Old Testament. If you go to Psalm 115 verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. It was God's design that the human race would take dominion on this earth. And we know back from Genesis that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over. And so the Lord is already, Father God at the creation, he made this really clear that we were created to take dominion. Now we know the fall happened and all of this, but as Jesus came, remember he has won that dominion back for us. And if you go to Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We are also his offspring. Another scripture is 1 John 3 verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. For it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are children of God. If you become a child of God, the Lord is reminding you today, it's time for you to walk as a child of God. You've been given authority. You know, when we have children, we expect them to grow up. And as they grow up, we expect them to mature. And we expect them to enter in to the family business and to take dominion. This is what the Lord is expecting of us. Now, let's think back on a centurion or a captain of an army. A captain of an army is still a human being and can have a good day or a bad day. A captain of the army could have a bad day and feel like, oh. However, he still is the captain. His authority does not depend on how he feels, how he or she feels. Our authority is not dependent on how we feel, because it's an authority that's been given to us. The authority comes from God, the Creator, Yahweh. It is God that has orchestrated this. And we must walk in the awe of who he is and the power and the dominion that he has passed on to us. The power that we have is in the name of Jesus. Jesus has secured that authority for us, his people. But it's not something that we are doing. It's not something that we have worked our way up to. It is all his doing. So we are not puffed up. Oh, I'm so this and this, being self-focused. Our focus is always on the Lord. Because all of our authority is all to do with the will of God and doing his will. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm a daughter of God. I know that God hears my prayers. I know that God answers my prayer. I can say that. That's not me being selfish. That's not me being pushing myself up. That's me believing who God is. But the key to my prayers being answered is praying according to his will. And I've had many experiences where I'm praying things and I'm thinking, I've recognized that did not come from myself. It came from the Holy Spirit. And this is how God works. He works through his church. We have authority, and we have authority through the name of Jesus. We are the disciples of Jesus. Everything we do is not through our own strength, it's through him. And then we have this amazing scripture in John 14, verse 11. Jesus speaking, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." Do you believe in Jesus? Jesus says, the works that Jesus did, you will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Because Jesus said it was good that he went to the Father. Why? Because then the Holy Spirit would come to us. And here we have this amazing scripture that we will do even greater works. This authority doesn't come from just sitting around. If a captain just sits around and never does any action, never gives out any commands, nothing's going to happen. It comes from acting. It comes from speaking. It comes from walking out that authority that God has given us. It's not like it's a magic formula. It is knowing the will of God and walking in the things of God. We see that in the first disciple, don't we? And in Acts 3:6, just as an example, here we have Peter on the way to the temple. He's on the way to the prayer meeting. This is the same Peter that denied Jesus 3 times. And now Peter is on the way to the prayer meeting. And as he walks in, he's seeing this crippled man sitting, and he says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And you know the story. The man was instantly he was healed. Notice that Peter, he didn't even pray. He didn't even pray. Why? Because he knew that Christ was in him. He knew the power of God was in him. And he saw the man. He didn't need to go and say, "Well, is this God's will? Is this the timing of God?" No. He knew. So we, as we mature, we have to know the word of God. We have to know God's plans. We have to saturate ourselves in the Holy Spirit so that we know the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so, as you see, Peter, he just walked it out. He just spoke it out. He didn't need to have a big, long praying session and anointing with oil and this. Instantly, he just says, "Be healed." Because there's the authority of Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I am in Christ and he's in me. So I'm aware of that. Then I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Because it's not me, it's Christ. This is for all believers. All of us are called at this time to awaken into the full authority that God has given us. This authority comes from who we are, our identity in Christ. Not who we are in ourselves, but our identity in Christ. It's a legal authority by the Word of God. Quite a number of years ago, we were at this conference and I got a prophetic word. And the prophetic word spoke about my expectation of what God would do through my life on this earth. And then the word said, you will see this if you follow precept by precept. And I thought, I wonder what that means. So this word has been in my heart for many years. And it's just in the last few years I'm starting to see it in a greater way. Precept by precept is talking about God's commandments. You see, we can't dismiss the Old Testament and say, oh, we don't need that. We need it. We need all of the Word of God. Because a lot of the keys to the sufferings of the world are found by looking at the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so precept by precept is talking about all the commandments of God, because the whole universe is held together by His Word and by His commandments. And so we are in His army. We have to know His instructions, don't we? How can a captain be successful in an army if they never open the letter with their instructions from their superior to tell them where to go and what to do? What kind of army is that? That's chaos. That doesn't lead to success. We have to know the commandments of the Lord. We have to know what is God's plan. How do we find that out? We have to press in for it. This is a time of pressing in to the Spirit of God, soaking ourselves in His Word so that we can know what He has called for each of us and walk in that authority. It doesn't come from sitting about doing nothing and hoping. No, it's talking about action and pressing in. But it's not by feeling. It's not by feeling, it's by the Word of God. Pressing in. These are the days. I'll just finish with Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. There's power working in you. There's power working in me. As we walk with the Lord, the authority of Jesus has been passed on to us, His church. Come on, people of God. Press in, and walk in the fullness of that which God has called you. Amen. Be blessed. We're going to